Right, so as we continue our series of lessons, Victory in Jesus, we are still in lesson one, Victory over Fear. And in our last lesson, we were in Luke chapter 24, and we were looking specifically at the message that the angels gave to the women and those that were with them. So as review, Luke chapter 24, down in verse 5, we'll begin reading where the angels told the women, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And then finally it says, "And they remembered his words." That helped to put some perspective on the fear that they were experiencing, on the confusion, and just the total shock of the fact that not only was their Savior crucified, but that when they went to the tomb the next day to anoint his body, he wasn't even there.
Right.
And so the message that the angels had here was just a wonderful message for them. And we also took that opportunity to look up some scriptures ourselves so that we could be reminded of the things that Jesus had told his disciples as he was teaching them. So let's turn to Mark chapter 10, and we'll just look at one of those passages that we looked at last week. Mark chapter 10, verses 32-34. And this is one of the many instances where Jesus had foretold his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He had prophesied to his disciples, not only those who were his in his inner circle, but his disciples in general had heard these sayings of his. And Mark chapter 10, verses 32-34. Brother Scott, if you'd read that for us.
"And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed as they followed. They were afraid. He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again."
Amen. So this is the most detailed account of what Jesus told his disciples what happened to him. I mean, he really laid it all out. And this is exactly, of course, what we know happened to our Messiah. And so once the angel told the disciples, told the ladies about these things, it's like all of a sudden their minds were clear of the fog that they were in. And then it's like all the scriptures, all the things that Jesus had told them, all of a sudden just came flooding into their minds, and they were, that's right. And you know, that's right. And he told us this, and he told us this, and he told us that. And then at that point, they started getting excited because the word of God was coming back to their remembrance. And the very things that he had told them would happen, but there was good news at the end of it, because the Bible says the third day he would rise again. In other words, it wasn't a done deal. It wasn't, oh, our Savior has died, he's dead, that's the end of it. No, the third day he shall rise again.
That's right.
Some of that, you know, even today, when something bad happens or you're going through something, it's like all of a sudden all our mind focuses on the here and now.
Yes.
And yet, but well, now wait a minute, and then you get someone else's perspective, and you tell them about it, and they go, well, remember, this is what was going to, oh, you know, it's like, and that's the same thing going on. Everybody's worried.
Absolutely.
It's like, don't, back here it already tells us as believers, what are you worried about? I see so many Christians worried about what's going on, and they're so threatened about this. Like, the Bible tells us this is going to happen. What are you worried
about? Right.
That's right.
If you're a true Christian, a true believer, Jesus is coming back, and we're going to be out of here.
Exactly.
Amen.
You know, pack your bags and tell your Lord as many people as possible.
Amen.
Get them ready. You know, that soul winning is so important.
Absolutely.
Know, the world and everybody's looking at it.
That's right.
And they're so consumed with ISIS and all the rest of this thing.
Yeah.
Even Christians.
Secondly.
And they forget the promises.
Bags are packed, folks.
Amen. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but
Amen.
Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
That's right.
Be of good cheer.
Exactly. Rest in that.
Yeah. Rest in that.
Exactly. And unfortunately, most, I shouldn't say most of the time, but much of the time, these promises of God end up being words on a page.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to get off of that page. They've got to get into our hearts, and they've got to manifest themselves into action and into a state of mind and heart. Otherwise, we're detached.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a connection there that's lived out. And this is now what's starting to happen to the women. Because when they went back to the other disciples, they didn't go back like this.
No, they did not.
They were probably racing each other to get back to where the other disciples were.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how, well, I shouldn't say, you know how women are. You know how people are.
Yes.
They're probably all talking at once.
Yes, sir.
Trying to talk over each other and trying to get attention, not because they're trying to necessarily compete with each other, but they're so excited. And just all these things are rushing back into their minds and hearts, and they just want to share it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sure you guys have been in discussions or in situations where something really exciting has happened, and everybody's trying to talk at once, and the conversation just gets louder and louder, and next thing you know, it's like, stop.
One at a time.
I'm not getting any of this.
Like one at a time.
Exactly,
one at a time.
So, you know, we weren't there, of course, but I can just envision just by human nature and how we normally end up in those kinds of situations. It had to have been a... From total gloom and doom to confusion to fear to, woo, let's go. Let's go tell the disciples.
Yep.
So that's the mindset here. And there's a key in this that I want you to get. When we face fear, when things don't go according to our plans, when we don't see a way out of a situation we're in, we need to return to the Word of God and remind ourselves of His promises.
Yep.
Rather than staying in this state of confusion or being downcast or consumed, like Jeff was saying, with the affairs that are going on around us, return to the Word of God and claim the promises that are in the Word.
That's right.
And I've got something I'll introduce you to here in just a few moments. But back in your booklet, there's a scripture there. It says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors."
Mm-hmm.
So we see that the fear of the women was so consuming that they weren't even thinking straight. And now with the angels simply telling them, hey, He told you this was going to happen, and now you're seeing it for yourself.
Right.
He is not here. He is risen.
Yep.
And man, their countenance, their frame of mind, their hearts just totally turned from being despondent and in despair to just being joyful and excited for God once again. And so that's why the scriptures here says in Psalms, "Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors." Now there's a couple of other scriptures I'd like us to take a look at for encouragement. And let's turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 6. Jeff, since you went, you must already be there. Why don't you read that for us?
"The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?"
That's good.
That's a good reason to say, Psalm 119 or Psalm 118, 6. "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" I'm in a position right now where I'm going to be putting this scripture to the test. As all of you know, Halloween is coming up. And there's decorations up where I work. And this particular decoration, I'm going to pass my phone around so you can see what it is. When I first saw it, I was very upset. I was very annoyed. And while I just sat there and thought about it, I thought, you know, I can be annoyed or I can take advantage of this to the glory of God. This is one of the decorations that's been put up in my workplace. It's just a few feet from where I sit. And I don't know what that comes from. I don't know if it's from one of these TV shows like The Living Dead or, you know, I have no idea where it comes from. It's definitely not, you know, pumpkins and little Casper the Friendly Ghost. You know, they have that too, but this is definitely a step above that.
Did you see it, Jeff?
Yeah, he already saw it. And I thought, okay, rather than being upset, rather than going to my boss or going to HR and complaining that this is offending me and I want it taken down, what can I do to take evil and turn it to good? Well, what my plan is, and Daniel, since you're here, I want you to listen to this very carefully because you may be the person that God uses to fulfill my plan. This is another little rabbit trail. But it relates to the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Because this has the potential, could get me fired, could get me in a lot of trouble. But what I want is I want to have a drawing made, and this drawing is going to have just a torso, like, you know, from about here down, and this torso is going to have a robe on, and the torso will have hands stretched out like this, palms up, with the nail prints. Now, the correct place would be here. But since most people don't relate to that, here is okay, because that's what the world relates to. And some drops of blood coming down from them, because the picture here has bloody handprints all over the place. And then there'll be a caption underneath that says, I will save you. And then it'll have three scripture verses. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Saved, that's right.
Says, help us. Jesus will save you.
Yep.
John 14:6. Who knows John 14:6?
Jesus saith, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then the third verse will be John 3:16, which most of those people will probably be somewhat familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
That's right.
So that's what I'm looking to do. This will be the picture or the drawing of Christ. There'll be a caption underneath with the scripture verses, and I'd like it to be poster size. I'm thinking about something around 24 by 36. And I want to put that up there sometime this month, and it'll be just a few feet away from this one. Now, if you work in a secular workplace, what do you think the potential repercussions of that might be?
Well, of course, I'm offended by that, and, you know, how can you put this religious posting right next to, you know, something that's supposed to be fun or something like that?
Funny, it wasn't meant to be serious.
Exactly.
And
then, you know, but your defense is, look, you guys put this up and offended me, I didn't...
See, I won't even say it that way. That was my initial thought, but my response will be, it says, help us. That's the help. That's the response to it right there.
Then they'll say,
but we didn't ask for a response. It asks for help.
Help us.
Whoever put that up there, I didn't know if they were serious or not serious. I wasn't going to quiz everybody to see who put that up there. I'm simply putting a response up there.
Yep.
Oh, well, that was just a joke. This is serious.
Yes, sir, it is.
So whatever they say, there's a response for it. Now, could this person or could somebody from my shop take me to HR? Absolutely.
Possibly.
You know, with all the bondage and the slavery and the things that are going out here in the world, what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. Those poor people that are kidnapped.
Yeah.
That's right, Brother Gary. That's right.
Right. But back to this, though. I want you to pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to go through with this.
Yep.
I struggled with doing this initially.
Mm.
And I'm studying my lesson, right?
Yep.
On fear.
Yep.
And I'm looking at this verse, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?
That's right.
So if I'm doing this for the glory of God, if I'm doing this because I want to lift up my Savior,
mm-hmm.
because I want to give these people an alternative, I want to give them hope, I'm doing this in the will of God.
Yes, sir.
I'm not doing this to blow my own horn. I'm not doing this to try to get any credit or anything like that, because if anything, I'm going to get persecution,
mm-hmm.
not a pat on the back.
Well, the world looks at Halloween like it's all in fun. They don't see the seriousness of witchcraft.
Exactly.
And how he's out there.
Exactly.
He just rolls over laughing when Christians do
nothing. Exactly.
The bondage is out there.
Yes.
The bondage is so out there to demons and all that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, just those that try and laugh it off.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're kidding themselves.
Absolutely. And here I have a golden opportunity to glorify my Savior and to put up a biblical pointed counter to this demonism.
Yep.
But Satan ain't going to be happy about it.
No, he isn't.
And he's going to stir up people over it.
Mm-hmm.
But my God is greater.
Mm-hmm.
And my God will take care of me. This is the first time I've gone through this, but it's the first time that I've done something like this.
There's people out there that probably want to make Halloween a national holiday.
I would imagine so. To replace Thanksgiving, as a matter of fact. Sure. Yeah.
Tiffany could help with that, too.
Yeah? Okay, well, Daniel, if you're up to this, if you have the time for it, I would love to see what you can put together. I'll mention it to Tiffany. I know there's also another young lady, Ashley, who's not going to be here, might be here tonight, Ashley Hunter. She's a professional artist. Pastor gave me her business card. So I'm going to put this out to several people in hopes that I'm going to get something that I can put up there. You know, it might be up there for several days.
Mm-hmm.
It might be up there for a couple hours.
Yeah.
Initially, the caption was going to say, Jesus Christ will save you.
Amen.
And we know that Jesus Christ, that name offends.
Mm-hmm.
That name stirs people up. Mm-hmm. And the more I thought about that, I thought, you know, that's what I really want to do. But at the same time, I want this poster to be up there as long as possible so that they see this. I want them to see the love of God. I want them to see Jesus saying, come to me.
That's right.
Come to me. I will save you. And I thought, you know, that may let the poster stay up there longer, and it may allow more people to actually jot down those verses and look them up versus Jesus Christ in their face, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
to where they don't look at anything else
right.
and they just turn it all off.
And then, you know, that might be a nice little catcher, come unto me.
And I had considered that as well. You know, so this is not in its final form necessarily. If someone is drawing this and, you know, and adds a little something to it that the Lord's put on their heart, you know, I'm open to that as well. But that's the spiritual warfare that we're dealing with, and fear factors into this.
Yep.
Because the easiest way for me to deal with this is just not look at it and just go on with my job and don't say a word.
Right.
Would I be sinning by doing that? No, but I sure would not be taking an opportunity to be a witness for my Lord by doing so. Brother, any input, any comments there?
I was just thinking, in Mexico, it is a religious thing because they're preparing the graveyard and they go out on Halloween and they commune with the spirits and they talk to the dead and take food for the dead and all that. So Halloween is a religious holiday, and so if you're castigated for religious, that poster is a religious thing, and would be considered so
just across the border.
Mm-hmm.
And so why can the devil's religion be okay and Christianity not be? I would see it as an equal,
exactly,
equal thing. And if they took you to the human resources, I think the human resources people got a real hot potato to handle because they got two religious things now. How are they gonna deal with it? But anyhow.
Yeah, but they don't perceive it as religion here.
They don't.
Is it Santeria? Is that the religion that's involved?
It's Catholicism in Mexico.
Right, it's Catholicism, but isn't Santeria involved with that as well?
I don't know.
Because I know like in Cuba and some of the other countries there, Catholicism is involved, but then Satan worship and voodoo and all that is involved as well. And it's all kind of been, you know, homogenized together.
It's a Catholic thing, and they talk to the dead.
Right.
It's a satanic thing, just as sure as...
just as sure as we're sitting here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're dealing with, you know, in our country.
Mm-hmm.
When we have opportunities like that, we need to be bold. We need to be courageous. What I'm doing is I'm trying to draw a fine line between being bold and being abrasive. Because my personality is abrasive, can be abrasive. And so that's why I took some time to just really sit back and just kind of digest this thing, pray about it. And as I was preparing my lessons, just some verses and just some things came to mind to say, you know what, just tone it down a little bit. You're still going to get the message across, and it might come across for a longer period of time, you know, if you do it this way. So, you know, I'm learning.
Yeah, and the same thing, like you're talking about fear here, is Katie doesn't have a job right now. So both of you go unpaid.
For both of us unemployed, now what?
Until they get this resolved.
Uh-huh.
You know, put you on administrative leave or whatever.
Right.
That's, you know,
a lot of thoughts went through my mind, yeah. I really wrestled with this.
Why now?
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to step out by faith and trust God on this thing.
Amen.
You know?
Amen, brothers. Amen.
I'm going to put my faith to the test.
Yep.
And not just be comfortable.
Right.
All right. Well, now with that out of the way, that wasn't even... I didn't even plan on doing that. But
no.
Be that as it may, it's out there. I feel it's relevant. And I have this little booklet I want to introduce you to here. Because there are days... There's been many times during the day when we need something to delight in.
Mm.
You know, we all have days that are so-so days. We have other days that are just rough days.
Rough.
And we need something to delight in. There are days when we need wise counsel that's always available to us in the Word of God. We need to claim the promises of God when we're being bombarded by things that would shake our faith. We need a counter to that. And I've got this little booklet here. It's called the Bible Promise Book.
Wow.
There's different categories in it, and it has scripture verses that addresses those with promises from God. It deals with anger, comfort, courage,
Amen.
Fear. How about that?
That's good.
Page 45. Listen to this. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil.
That's good.
And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. This passage of scripture has helped me as I've been debating and dealing and wrestling with this poster and the potential fallout from it. And there's other promises in here. As we just read it, Hebrews 13:6. Let's go there. That was the next one that I was going to share. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, actually. And Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. And let's see it. Fred, how about if you read verse 5, and then Ken can read verse 6.
Let your mature conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
Amen.
Amen.
So that was the writer of Hebrews in verse 6, quoting Psalm 18:6 that we just looked at a few moments ago.
Yeah.
But verse 5 says, let your conversation, let your lifestyle, your manner of living be without covetousness. Don't covet what other people have. Don't look at what others have and say, well, why don't I have that? Or go after it even though it's beyond your means to have it. Don't be covetous. Be content with such things as ye have.
Yep.
For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You were making mention, my wife's unemployed. If this turned nasty, I could be unemployed.
Yep.
Am I willing to face that and deal with that? Initially, the answer was, But then I started reading these verses. I'm like, wow. I'm not being very trusting here. I'm not willing to really put my faith to the test. And the Lord says, you know, it's your decision. I'm not going to beat you with this thing, but just remember my promises. You have an opportunity before you. It's up to you what you do with it. God is gracious that way. He's not going to force us. But there are potential harsh consequences. But I'm going to step out by faith.
Amen.
And what I'm hoping is that in the coming weeks I'll be reporting back what God has done through it.
That's good.
You know, if it causes someone to come to me and say, hey, this poster, these verses, or these things you got written down here, well, what's that about? What is that? That'll make it worth it all. So again, be praying for me because this is a big step.
Yep.
It's a big step for me. All right.
Can I digress just a little more?
Absolutely. You digress all you want.
God does use work to direct our lives. And standing up for Him is very key. And I'm a missionary today because of what happened at work. And I'll give you just a little short testimony. The one of my men, I had quite a number of people working for me, and one of my men's sons committed suicide. And so I went to the Mormon church for the funeral. And I saw terrible rejection. They said this guy had ended up in hell, and the family liked to sunk in their seats. It was the fifth suicide in our community, or people related to our community in a year there in southeast Utah. And so I went over and spent quite a bit of time with him. He was devastated, and I led him to Christ. Well, my boss became enraged. And in fact, one night I was sitting in my office working. And
Mormon boss, right?
What?
Mormon boss?
Mormon boss. Sitting in my office working, and everybody else had gone except he had. And he came and stood in my door, and he screamed and yelled at me, just shaking, mad, red, almost purple. Told me to go back where I belonged. What was I doing? Proselytizing Mormon people into the Baptist religion, and because I'd led some other folks to Christ as well. And I had really loved my job. And it became so apparent that even my men came to me and said, we know our boss is Mormon, we're Mormon, but please don't do to us what the boss is doing to you. It was apparent to the whole plant what was going on. But God took my love of my job away, and He put the mission field in front of me, and therefore I was open to go. And it was a terrible time. I went home and I just shaking my head saying, what in the world, Lord? You know, what do I do here? I want to stand for You, but it's enraging but God used that in my life a great deal. He does use work things. It didn't come out the way I thought it would, but it came out what God wanted it to be.
And you weren't a spring chicken when all this happened either.
No. Not at all. I was 52 years old.
Exactly. looking, retirement was on the horizon, and all of a sudden you put all that behind and totally step out by faith and go to a foreign land. Not too many missionaries go out to the field at that age.
Right.
But that was God's plan, so that's
what I did. Now, this lady, Kim, who's been coming to church with me for a little while now, over 6 years, I've been witnessing and ministering to her, and she recently came to Christ.
Amen.
And one of the things that really stuck out with her was my testimony. The fact that I witness for Christ at work, that I stand for Christ at work, and I don't back down. And so if I cowered in this instance and just said, you know, I'm just going to ignore it, it may or may not make a difference in her life, but my stepping out and addressing the issue in some fashion will solidify my testimony in her eyes. Because the first thing she asked me when she saw me looking at that poster was, are you offended by that? I said, very much so.
Yes, sir.
And she said, what are you going to do about it? I said, I don't know yet. This was 2 weeks ago. And that's all that's the only thing that's been said. I don't know yet. She said, and she looked at me, and I looked at her. She says, but you're going to do something, aren't you? And I said, you can rest assured I'm going to do something.
Rest assured we're going
to
do something.
To back down in this instance, in her mind, she's just like, well, he didn't have to, but he's been doing this other stuff. What about this? And it'll give her boldly.
Well,
later on, maybe say, you know what? I can stand it. He stepped out. I can step out.
Exactly. Because she's been a witness at work already. And I don't want to be a stumbling block to her. And give her an opportunity to say, well, you know what? It's okay. I can just keep my mouth shut. I don't say anything. Because, you know, he didn't do anything with this situation. So there's a lot riding on this.
Yep, there is.
There's a lot of potential outcome and fallout from this. So I'm in the middle of what I consider a hornet's nest at the moment.
Yep.
And I can already see people, I can see their faces already. They're going to be wanting to gnash at me with their teeth. So, you know, take a deep breath.
Lord, help us.
Step out by faith.
Yep.
Trust God's word. Rest on his promises. And he'll take care of the rest.
Yes, sir, he will.
So that's real life. Serge Lapar dealing with fear.
Dealing with fear. Yes, sir. I hear you.
You know?
I hear you, Mr. All right. I hear you.
Now let's move on to B in our booklets. The fear of the disciples.
The fear of the disciples.
So we've dealt with the fear of the women.
Yeah.
We're dealing here with the fear of unplanned circumstances. Mm-hmm. And B is the fear of the disciples. All right. Get my head back in the game here, because I got all kinds of things going on in my brain right now. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Well,
kind of sort of leading into this.
Yeah, I personally don't look at this as a rabbit trail. I look at this as real life, real situation. You know, last week was a rabbit trail, for sure. This is, I don't see this as a rabbit trail. That's right. The fear of the disciples. And obviously, fear was not just something that gripped the women. You know, it wasn't just the women that were fearful. Though that's what we covered initially. We want to make sure that we cover the rest of the story here. Because, you know, I'm assuming that these fishermen were probably, you know, pretty well-built, burly kind of guys, because back then, you know, they weren't just sitting in their boat, you know, casting out their fishing line, you
That's
know,
right.
and make sure that their wrist action was exactly right.
Exactly.
They were throwing out some big nets into the water. And then they were having to pull those things back by hand with the fish and everything else, you know, that was in them. So these were not wimpy men. I'll just leave it there.
They were not us.
They were not us. I wasn't going to go there, but you know.
Amen.
Yeah. None of those people back then were us. If we were back then, we would all die. Or have to get in shape really quick. So, you know, so these were big guys, you know. They were big, tough guys. They were used to hard work. I mean, you know, they were used to just a rough life. They were fishermen. And as fishermen, they were not the cream of the crop on the societal ladder. They were down there toward the bottom because most of the times they stunk. They smelled like fish.
Yep.
You know? And those guys didn't use, you know, hand sanitizers and hand wipe every time they came off the boat before they went into town. they smelled like it from head to toe, you know? I mean, they probably had a little seaweed in their hair, you know? I mean, you know, you conjure up whatever picture you want, but these were hardy men. But they had the same fear in their hearts that the women had.
Mm-hmm.
Fear has no boundaries.
Right.
Men and women can be overcome by fear.
Mm-hmm.
And in this instance, the men were just as fearful as the women were because they had the same emotions overtake them. That confusion, being perplexed, being confused. What in the world is going on here? Our Messiah, our deliverer, our king has just been killed. And now, you know, he's missing. He's not here. What in the world is going on? So that consumed them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, the disciples had focused on Jesus establishing his kingdom during this time and freeing them from Roman bondage.
Mm.
Their Messiah, in their mind, was their king. He was their deliverer. He was coming to establish Jerusalem as the capital of Israel once again, like in its glory days back in the days of David. They totally did not understand what Jesus came for initially. He was going to set them free. They were going to be a strong, powerful, respected people once again. And of course, that's not what happened.
Right.
Their king was up there hanging on a cross, crucified by the very people that they thought he was going to free them from. You talk about taking your agenda, if you want to call it that, and totally turning it on its head. They were in total confusion and didn't know what in the world was going to happen to them next. They saw the miracles that Jesus performed, and they thought, this is our deliverer.
That's right.
Anyone who can perform miracles like this can surely free us from Roman bondage. It will be no problem. With us, with our spears and our staves, and him as our leader doing miracles before us, it'll be just like in the days of old with Joshua and all the other great generals.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go, man.
Yes.
That was the kind of ideology that they had when Jesus was on the scene. And as much as he taught them, and as much as he taught them that I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be spat on, but the third day I'm going to rise from the dead, it pretty much went in one ear and out the other, because it was not computing with what they had in their minds and on their agenda that Jesus was here to do. And so I think that's part of the reason, anyway, why this didn't seem to register with them. You know, we sit back today and we think, as many times as he told you guys, you didn't get it? Well, you know what? If you already have a preconception of what somebody is here to do or what a situation is meant for, you may be getting all kinds of inputs as to what it's really about, but because it doesn't fit the paradigm that you have, you're just dismissing it. You're not paying attention to it. You're ignoring it. And we're going to see that in our next lesson. You're going to see a contrast that is just going to be mind-blowing. And I got my little signal, so we need to stop there, and that'll be a good place to stop. But keep that in mind, that the disciples, the men, had their own ideas as to why Jesus came. And when he didn't fulfill what they thought he was here for, then their dreams were shattered, their hopes were shattered. Now their nation was going to stay in bondage to Rome. Wait a minute, that's not how it was supposed to be. So keep those thoughts in mind, and we'll deal with that a little bit more in our next lesson. but for now, we'll close in a word of prayer. And Daniel, if you'd lead us in prayer, please.
Lord Father, again, we just thank you for the privilege and opportunity to come to your house without fear, Lord. There's so many places in the world where fear can overcome even coming to church, Lord. And so we thank you for this opportunity to study and worship you in all aspects of our life, Lord. We pray now for Serge and the upcoming weeks or days over this situation of Halloween, Lord. We just pray now also for our pastor to guide him in the lesson to come, Lord. We just pray for these snacks that have been prepared for us, Lord. And just thank you and love you and all that you do. In Jesus' holy, precious name we pray.
Amen. And amen. Amen.